I'm Polly Warren and welcome to the Positive Perimenopause Podcast. This is the place for some positive inspiration to help you through the rollercoaster ride of perimenopause. I truly believe that with the right support, knowledge and wellness tools, you can feel your best yet. Because I'm learning this life phase can be a truly exciting and often pivotal time of life. With every episode, my mission is to support and empower you to own your menopause, because it's time to start taking care of the most important person, and yes, that's you. So thank you for being here and sharing your time with me. Now let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. How are you? I hope you've had a good week. This week, I started the official training for the Brighton Marathon, my first ever marathon, which I'm going to run in early May next year. I'm not going to lie, I've actually been quite dreading the start of the training. However, now it's started, I've had to have a word with myself and remind myself why I'm doing it. I'm determined that I enjoy the process. And if I come into this training with dread, I'm certainly not going to enjoy it. Our minds are so powerful, and what we tell ourselves totally matters. If we fill it with positive thoughts, then we're going to have a far, far better experience. So I'm going to really try and do this throughout my marathon training. So watch this space. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to remind you that I've still got a handful of 90-minute menopause support sessions available at a reduced price of £125. So that's £25 off the usual price. So perhaps you feel like you've just lost your mojo, or you're worried about how your work is being affected by your constant low energy, or even your confidence has plummeted and you find that you're just worrying more than you ever have. And perhaps you're fed up of feeling moody and irritable and you're just putting a brave face on things. But if you're truly, truly honest with yourself, you're feeling a little bit lost and isolated and alone. And I totally get it, because this is exactly how I felt. Perhaps you've tried HRT and it's not helping in the way that you're hoping, or perhaps the doctor just didn't give you the answers that you're looking for. And maybe you've made some diet and lifestyle changes, but they're just not working. So if you're feeling stuck and you're not sure what to do next, one of my 90-minute menopause support sessions really will help you to get the answers that you are seeking. They will help you get real clarity on what you can do now to feel like your old self again, or perhaps even better than your old self. And because we are all so individual, sometimes we just need an individual approach. And that's exactly what you'll get in one of these support sessions with me. I know that with the right guidance and expert advice, you'll have more energy than you've had in ages, will reduce your brain fog, you'll feel far more in control of your moods, you'll have renewed motivation, you'll be feeling much, much more positive. I know that because that's what women I've worked with before have told me. I'm a trained menopause practitioner. I've also got so many different coaching certifications that I just know that these sessions are really, really invaluable. So if you're interested, all you need to do is send me an email to info@pollywarren.com with £25 off in the title, and we can arrange a time. Just a reminder that last week I spoke to the lovely Rachel Keeley, who's a physiotherapist, all about staying pain-free and free of niggles and aches and pains as we age. So if you haven't had a listen to that one, I highly recommend going back and having a listen. Okay, on to this week's guests. This week, I speak to fellow menopause coach Adele Johnson. Adele is a certified nutritionist, and also she's a positive psychology coach, and she's super passionate about helping women improve their menopause health and reclaim who they are without menopause taking over. In this episode, we talk about how Adele discovered that she was perimenopausal really quite young at the age of 37. And we also discuss many of the free mindset tools that we can all access, which can really help support ourselves.
Hello, Adele. It's absolutely lovely that I have you join me today on the podcast. So as a fellow menopause coach, I think it's very easy in this space, particularly when you have your own business and you see others doing something very similar to yourself, to sort of stay clear and go, oh no, they're doing something very similar to me. But I see it incredibly differently, actually, because we're all on a similar mission, ultimately. And I love how you put it. It's to make menopause mainstream. And we're all sharing the same message, but yet we're all very unique and very different. And we have our own specialisms, and we all have slightly different trainings. So I love talking to other menopause coaches and finding out more about them. So to start with, I'd love to know a little bit more about you and your menopause story, because I know that you started your perimenopause journey under the age of 40. And because 1 in 100 women start their menopause journey, we'll actually go through menopause under 40. I think it's really super important that we talk about it, because quite often we don't associate women in their 30s with menopause. So I'd love it if you could tell us a little bit about what was going on for you at that time and how you discovered that you were perimenopausal.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for inviting me on here. I think that it's an amazing space that we get to be in together as a collective. So yes, never competition, always collaboration.
Absolutely.
So my journey, I was probably early 30s when I started to notice that things were just feeling a little bit different with my body. I was quite senior in corporate at that point. I had quite a stressful job. I had twin daughters. You know, life was a bit hectic. So I think we can easily just dismiss it and put it down to stresses of work or stresses at home. Got into my mid-30s. I was about 35 when things just started to get a little bit worse. And it was only when the heart palpitations and the itchy skin became a really severe symptom for me. A lot of the symptoms that I experienced were vaginal to begin with, because I have the Mirena coil as a contraceptive, because I didn't want any more twins. That was enough. I always had the Mirena, so I didn't bleed. So I wasn't aware of whether there were changes to my menstrual cycle. And then a lot of the symptoms, vaginal, heart palpitations, which I'd never, ever experienced before. And it was very scary. I got really anxious around it all, and I'd never had anxiety before. So there was a lot of different things coming up for me. Very blessed that I was already deep within the menopause space at that time, and went through quite intensive mentoring with a well-known menopause doctor in the space. And it just became quite apparent to me that my symptoms were very much the same as what we would discuss over podcasts together and just one-to-one sessions that we would have during mentoring. And it wasn't until I was then speaking with Zoe that she'd said, have you considered that this might actually be menopause, perimenopause for you? And I was like, I have, but I'm in denial. I don't want to face into that. So fast forward, I kind of went through that process of, let's just, you know, get the checks done. I'm under 40. We're going to run full blood panels. My GP, the NHS GP, wouldn't actually do the blood works that were being requested. So I chose to go private for bloods. I'm not one to muck about when it comes to health. So went private, done the bloods. And straight away, it was quite apparent at that point that the core hormones were low. Reran them 6 weeks later. They were just as bad. So for me, it was very much a very clear insight that this was not anything sinister. At this point, I'd actually been referred through gynecology to get lots of checks and tests done, because they were very fearful that the symptoms that I was experiencing personally were related to some kind of vaginal or cervical cancer. So these were words that they said to me, of course, I deep down realised that there was probably a small possibility, but smear tests had all come back fine. So yeah, went through a lot of scans, checks, biopsies, you name it, I had it done. And the gratitude was that the results of those were all clear. So celebrated that. Knew deep down it was hormonal. And it wasn't until I had my coil removed for the biopsies and all the checks, then had it replaced, that within the space of 24 hours, a lot of my symptoms had disappeared or gotten a lot better. And that for me was the element of progesterone must have been so low for me that when they've replaced the Mirena, the progestogen that's released was enough within that 24-hour window for my body to say, ah, okay, yeah, this is good. We feel a lot better now. So yeah, it was just in knowing my own body that I pushed and pushed for that confirmation, because like so many women, kept getting told I was far too young for it to be perimenopause. Yeah.
So you were working in the menopause space already. You were working with people going through menopause.
Yes. So the reason that I actually, I never set out to become the menopause coach and to work in this space. It was when I was already working with women. I'd actually started working with a lady who had been in early menopause. So she didn't actually have a perimenopause. She had surgically induced menopause because of breast cancer treatment. And when I onboarded her, I have always been the type of coach that if I don't have knowledge of, I will gain knowledge, but will always refer out if it's a specialist area. I realized very early on when I started to do research for her support that there was this massive black hole of any type of support or information. And it was over the course of around 3 years of reading research. I'm an evidence-based nutritionist already, so reading research is something I love to do. That's the reason that I then started the mentoring process with Zoe in the background, Dr. Zoe Hodson, and then became very ingrained within the menopause space. So it was actually through working with my client,
right,
I curated all of this library of information and knowledge. And then that's where the 12-week menopause support coach certification came from, because I developed such a knowledge and understanding from something that there just isn't that core central piece of knowledge that you can go to.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long ago was that when you started noticing you were perimenopausal?
I would say that looking back, I was probably perimenopausal in my early 30s. It wasn't until I was 35 that I was absolutely sure that's what it was. And it took until 37 to get the diagnosis, or, well, I like to call it confirmation because it's not an illness or disease. So yeah, confirmation that that's what it actually was. And I started my hormone replacement therapy at 37. I'm now 39.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And have you, and so you chose to do HRT, and how did that work for you straight away?
It was very quick. Yeah. So I already had the Mirena, which was my progestogen or progesterone element. A synthetic form of progesterone. So for me, it was very simple and easy. I opted for the Bessons Estrogel pump pack so that I could just apply the gel. And that's worked really well for me. Very nice, very easy to do. But I also required testosterone. So my journey is that little bit nuanced. When blood works came back, it's probably been the case for me that for a number of years that my testosterone levels were very, very low. So for context, for those that understand blood works, my testosterone levels came back at 0.09. And we would normally look for women to be no higher than kind of a 5% range. So mine was 0.09. There was no testosterone really, you know, minimum amounts circulating my body. So the impacts that that had around my sex drive, my motivation, my confidence, it diminished very rapidly. And that's the reason that I then resigned from my corporate post, was because there was no help that was available to me to manage how I was feeling in that state of mind and physical. You know,
yeah,
a lot of impact.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you are under 40, the guidance and the, you know, the research says that actually it really is important that you replace those hormones, because it is very young that those hormones are at such a level. Yeah. And so it's important for your long-term health, for your bones, for your heart, for your brain. It's really super important to have those hormones. So for the listeners, they might be going, oh gosh, do I need to go and have blood work? Do I need to have testosterone? Here in the UK, the NICE guidelines state that if you're under 45, then they would recommend that you would go and have your blood tested. But it's still very unreliable, isn't it?
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think as well, a point to note on this is I have a lot of ladies who will reach out to me saying, I've had bloods done, it's showing X, Y, Z. Please do not do finger prick blood testing. So it is not accurate. Venous blood kits is what we would always recommend if you are doing bloods, and through your GP where possible, so that you can keep everything central into your NHS system. Certainly urine samples, saliva samples, no, not when we're doing hormonal blood panels. I'm a bit, whether this is controversial or not, I'm a bit in favour of bloods. So when we look at the human body, we understand and appreciate that when we are connected to our body, okay, and not a lot of people are, so when we're connected to our body, we appreciate when there are changes. We don't ignore them, we acknowledge them, we experience them, and we want to know why. We want to know what's going on. So for me, blood works, especially being a nutritionist, I like to understand, well, if we're going in for blood and we're looking to maybe do a hormonal profile, can we also get some of your core minerals and vitamins checked at the same time? Because sometimes it's not adequate enough for us just to look at estradiol, just to look at testosterone or your SHBG. We want to understand, well, could this actually be thyroid function, or could this be cortisol? Yeah, is cortisol sitting too low? Is cortisol sitting too high? We want to appreciate that there are some other nuances that for health purposes, it might not be, and this is probably a really good point to make, you might fill in one of the GCS scale assessments to understand where your symptoms are sitting, and you might hit the marker points that show that you could be perimenopausal. Your blood results might come back and indicate that potentially you could be perimenopausal, but actually it could be related to lifestyle factors. So there's a lot that we need to appreciate that bloods can support with, but they're not essential for confirming perimenopause. You can do that by symptoms alone, but you must be super connected to your body to appreciate that.
Yeah, gosh, there's lots of things in there I want to talk to you about. So yeah, firstly, the connection with your body. It's so important that we kind of know what is normal and what is not normal. And I think as women, we do tend to just, you know, get that surprise every month. Oh my God, it's my period. It's come again. It's like, or not. And I've been like you for years. I've had the Mirena. Actually, I had the Mirena coil fitted after my third daughter, mm-hmm. When I was 37. So mm-hmm. I had no idea again of my periods at that time, because my periods had become so unbearably, unpleasantly heavy. And now in hindsight, again, I kind of look back and go, oh my gosh, that was a great big sign that things were beginning to change. Mm-hmm. But actually, you know, I always really recommend people to cycle track, to track what's going on each month, notice how their moods are, because it is super important, because then you can get a really good picture of what's going on. But in terms of, it's not just our hormones, I completely 100% agree with you. And I would go as far to say that majority of people who are experiencing symptoms of some sort are going to be nutritionally depleted. They are going to have increased cortisol levels, because just of the world in which we live, I think it's something like 80% of people hit midlife nutritionally depleted, because they're just not eating a variety of plants like we used to, and we're stressed out all the time. And so our cortisol levels are through the roof.
Yeah, I think it is. I've actually just released a podcast today on cortisol. So there's an episode around the impacts of cortisol being too high or too low. So it's a good one to listen to. But you're completely right. We've got over 2 million year old brain in our head, and that brain still will look at risk and fight, flight, freeze response, But that risk maybe isn't necessarily that you're running from, you know, a predator or an animal anymore. It's that actually you're creating this story in your mind space. As soon as you waken up in the morning, that you've got this stressful meeting that you're going into, and instead of one predator, you've maybe got 12 predators in a meeting room that you're thinking, I don't want to go in here. I don't want to do this. Or you're showing up to a client that you don't feel aligned with, that, you know, this is all inside our mind space. So the predators and the risks sit within the thought process. And actually, yeah, it's a really, really big thing for chronic level stress response.
Because even though we get that, well, as well as getting that immediate release of cortisol when we turn into that stress response, every time we have even a negative thought, because the body can't tell the difference if it's real or not, we get a chemical reaction and cortisol is released into our body. So we're constantly getting this cortisol. So you think we have something like, I think it's something like 70,000 thoughts a day. And I think a huge number, it's 80% of those, 70-80% are negative and subconsciously or consciously. So if you think of all of that cortisol being pumped into our bodies, there's no wonder that we are constantly on high alert.
Yeah, in a chronic response state. Mm. I mean, we need cortisol, right? It's one of these hormones that without it, we wouldn't survive. So we actually do need to have it. It's healthy that we do release cortisol. It's at its highest first thing in the morning, which many people might think that's crazy. Why? We actually do have the higher spike of it first thing in the morning. And it's designed then that we get up, go and do. So it's a, you're awake, you're rested, you're awake, you're going about your day. And throughout the remainder of the day, it will lower. Naturally, it's meant to, it will lower. And that helps then the circadian rhythm. So the sleep-wake cycle and sleep pressure to build. It's like this beautiful symphony connection that all of the hormones in our endocrine system of the human body will just be in flow with one another. But what happens when we then put a kind of kink in that chain? If we then think road rage, so someone cuts us up at the lights, we have some road rage response, we can't get over it. The heart rate's pumping, we've got aggression and anger, we've got this response within the body that automatically then says, well, I don't like that, I'm not happy with that, and I can't forget that. So the remainder of the day will then trickle on. So rather than cortisol being high in the morning and gradually lowering through the day to help with the sleep-wake cycle of our circadian rhythm, we will ignore that adenosine pressure in the brain is building up to make us feel sleepy. We'll have caffeine. Caffeine's an adenosine blocker. Therefore, it's still building up. And this is why some people can feel quite rattly in the afternoon, quite fractious and a little bit, you know, I refer to it as we're kind of in toddler mode. We go into that state of, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want to do. I just feel really peed off right now. So this is all done, and I work through this a lot with clients, but this is all done through our mind response. And this is where things like daily gratitude and daily positive affirmations can really support when you recognize that you're falling into a response state that feels quite negative or quite aggressive in response. The best thing you can do is have a kind of disruptor. It might be the clicking of your fingers. It might be I recognize I'm doing this. Okay. And then allowing yourself to fall into but what am I grateful for in this moment? And it's not falling into toxic positivity. There's a difference. It's bringing ourselves into a reframe. So we take back control of that moment and we give ourselves a reframe. And it's amazing then what happens. The brain will settle. The body will relax. And we'll allow ourselves to release a lot more of those happy hormones. Yeah. And we need those.
We sure do. Yeah. So Adele, you're a positive psychology coach. So that's, I presume, those are some of the tools that you teach people. Can we just go back to the gratitude? Because it's bounded around an awful lot, isn't it? It's like, right, we need to practice gratitude. So let's just break it down for someone who is going, oh God, gratitude, you know, I've tried it. And can you give some practical tips on how someone could actually break it down so they can actually do it in a way which isn't just saying, right, do gratitude?
Yes, absolutely. So there's many ways that you can practice gratitude. And the more you practice it, and it's called a practice for a reason, okay, we don't just master it, it's not a one and done. So practicing gratitude, the best invitation that I can make to you today as a listener is building it into your daily habits. Okay, so mine, let me share mine. The first thing I do when I wake in every single morning is I give gratitude that I have woken for another day. Okay, I give the gratitude just in my mind space that I've woken for another day and that I'm pain and ailment free. That's a big thing for me because one of my biggest values is health, and within health is mobility. And for anyone that's ever broken a bone or you've been bedbound with illness, you realize very quickly how the body can deteriorate and frustration can set in when we don't have our health or our mobility. So giving gratitude, what it actually does inside the brain is phenomenal. We release serotonin, we release dopamine. We actually can release oxytocin and GABA as well at the same time when we're deep inside our gratitude thoughts. And it might be for something that you've experienced. It might be for your favorite coffee cup. It doesn't have to be something vast, like I'm grateful for having a peaceful world that I live in. It can be I'm just grateful for these comfortable pair of socks today. So it's what you feel happy and connected and grateful for. I'm grateful for not needing to get up as early today because I'm working from home. Yeah, so little things like that you can build into your day. It's also in the moments where maybe something not so positive happens to you. So you might end up having a car puncture. And this is where we can fall into the whole victim mode. Victim mentality can take over. But actually, is that an opportunity then to listen to your favorite podcast until the, you know, recovery service arrives? Or is this an opportunity to phone your best friend that you've not spoken to for 6 months because you're both so busy that you get the opportunity of the universe has delivered you half an hour to an hour of time? So it's allowing. And as soon as you allow that gratitude to become a daily practice for you, oh my word, you are going to be hooked on that practice. You're going to ask yourself why you've never been made aware of this before.
Yep, it's so true.
Like attracts like. Once you start being really grateful for that moment, even if the day's going wrong, something good generally does happen.
But it's different to toxic positivity. So Adele, how is it different to toxic positivity?
So toxic positivity is something that a lot of people will feel that they have to be grateful or happy in a situation. Okay, and this is quite a big one actually, because it's happened quite a lot this year for people, but those that have been very blessed to be able to journey to different parts of the world on trips or holidays, we in the UK have had a lot of baggage handler striking and lots of bags went missing. Okay, so I know a lot of my female entrepreneurs in a business network that we're part of, we were very lucky to be able to go to LA for a business retreat. And my bag was fine. My bag arrived home, but three of my business friends have still never received their luggage back. And inside their luggage is personal belongings and things that can't be replaced. Other things could be replaced and that's fine. But what can happen with that is toxic positivity then would have us believe that we have to be grateful that we arrived home safe and that we actually have the ability to go buy other things. But what can happen then is those irreplaceable items, well, they can't be replaced. And if we are not allowed to feel upset or sad or grieve the loss of those things, then we're being toxic in that positivity to ourselves. So we're still allowed to be peed off. We're still allowed to swear, to cry, to shout, all those things. Yeah. But we need to allow ourselves to connect back in then with, okay, I'm safe, I'm well, I'm happy. You know, I'm living in a happy life, but I'm still upset that I've not got those things back.
Yeah, it's feeling those feelings. Otherwise, they're going to pop up somewhere else, aren't they?
Absolutely.
It's really important to feel them. So I wonder, Adele, if you could just, again, maybe give us some tips on how best to create an affirmation which is going to serve us well?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I love it. So affirmations are a connection between you and an environmental situation. So if we think about when we say things like I am, the human psychology is that we will naturally think of what I'm not. So when I say, Polly, I want you to affirm that you are, okay, what are you? What do you feel? The automatic reaction is the brain will always trip itself back into, well, I want to say that I'm powerful, but today I actually feel quite vulnerable. So I'm not going to say vulnerable, I'm just going to say powerful. But what we get to do with this is find words that we feel connected with and to. So, and I do have a podcast on this, episode 17 talks about affirmations and takes you through an affirmation meditation. So when we say I am, it's putting those two words in front and then allowing yourself to be in flow. Okay, I am peaceful. I am grateful. I am worthy. These are really big connections that we get to then affirm to ourselves. And it's such a powerful thing to do, because if we think back to what we were speaking around the release of cortisol and how we can manifest a risk or a state of being that isn't conducive to health, when we then bring ourselves back into an I am affirmation, I am powerful, I am healthy, I am loved, I am well, I am showing up in my best possible self, can be anything. Then what we do is we start to lift our mood and our vibrations. And we've touched on this. And what we vibrate and radiate, we attract more in like a magnet source. So the more that you tell yourself, I am powerful, I am showing up in my best self, I am the best at what I do, you're helping your brain to go, oh yeah, yeah, we really are. We really are powerful. We really are the best at what we do. And it helps to affirm then that confidence, that self-connection, and really releasing all of that positive chemical and neurotransmitter journey, that kind of symphony we talked about within the body. Because it's all too easy for us to say, oh, I'm so stupid because I did that.
Our language is so important, isn't it? It does matter what we tell ourselves. I was listening to a really good podcast this morning with Marissa Peer, who's an incredible therapist. And she was saying quite often you might say something like, I can't do that because I would die. So your brain immediately kind of goes, oh my God, if she was to stand up on stage and do a speech, she would die. So I'm going to do everything I can to protect her so that she doesn't do that and makes it as difficult as possible for her to do that. So these affirmations are so powerful. The way we speak to ourselves is so powerful. It has to be something that we believe rather than something we don't believe. But it can really, really help to kind of get your brain and your mind in a place which is going to work for you rather than against you.
Yeah, so powerful. I mean, even things like if you aren't readily practicing your affirmations, then it's a reminder to maybe have a mug that has maybe an I am affirmation statement on it, or, you know, a post-it note that you can write maybe three that you then remind yourself that you are these things. And it's about saying them, yeah, in your mind space, but also out loud and verbalizing. I find myself sometimes if I have moments where I think, wow, I feel very fragile right now, I'm in a really vulnerable space, then I will walk around my house, everybody's out, but I'll walk around my house and I'll be screaming out my affirmations. Yeah, I am strong. I am powerful. I am capable. And we all get these moments where we feel a little fragile. And it's amazing what it then does to the heart and brain connection within your body when you affirm these thoughts. Very powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as we go through this perimenopause transition, one thing which so many of us lose is confidence. Yeah. In ourselves. And so to be able to find a tool which is free, which we can all do, is actually so powerful, because confidence is something which, you know, it's awful when it goes. It really can affect you in so many ways, and particularly in the workplace. You said earlier that you left your corporate job, you think, because of what you were experiencing with some of those symptoms you were having. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Yes. No, I did leave because of it. Unfortunately, there just wasn't any support available for what I needed. my husband and I had a conversation and decided that health was far more important than money. Walked away from a very big salary and was just very, very fortunate that we were in a position that I could do that. I know others are not. And then it was almost like the whole part of my purpose journey was to do that, to then be full time in supporting women in menopause care. So yeah, it's been a phenomenal couple of years.
Did you find that you lost your confidence when you were in this, doing this whole journey? So what could women who are finding themselves now in, particularly in a corporate, in the corporate world, well, I suppose in any job, what can they do to help themselves? Because there's nothing worse than when you're feeling like you aren't able to do your job to your highest ability because you can't remember names of somebody or what you were meant to be presenting about or whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. That happened to me a lot. And at the time, I didn't realize that it was perimenopause. I remember having numbers of conversations with senior management around just not feeling great. So what I would suggest is by opening up and talking about it. Okay, a lot of companies are way more advanced now than when I was at even in corporate a couple of years ago, and about being able to really step forward and ask for help. Okay, we actually run within the Menopause Support Coach certification, we invite corporates to take part in it. So that very much like my mental health first aiders, we then have in-house menopause support coaches. And what this enables is for the organization to offer better duty of care and adjustment. Sometimes it's just a conversation that needs to be had. Other times it's we need to maybe make some reasonable adjustments to the care within the workplace. So speaking up about it and making people aware, not suffering in silence, is my biggest thing. And if confidence does start to go, this is where your gratitudes and your affirmations and maybe adding in some journal practices are going to really support you in being really connected. It's about reminding ourselves of all the things that we have achieved rather than focusing on the mistakes we've made. And that's a big thing, a really big thing.
Yeah, it's about really connecting with who you are. You were talking about the I am bit. Mm-hmm. I love this exercise. If someone says to you, right, who are you? I would say, oh, I'm Polly Warren. And it's kind of, what does that mean to me? Well, it means that I'm a wife, I've got my own business, this is who I am. But actually, if I then just take away the Warren bit and I just go, I am Polly, who is that? And actually, you might start to think about maybe more some of my characteristics and more about who I am and my upbringing. But then if you just take away the Polly and you just go back to the I am and you strip away all of the things which have conditioned us throughout our whole of our life, that ultimately is who we are. That is you in the moment. That is your consciousness. And when we can actually really, we can connect to that, it helps you to, I think, really kind of live more in that moment and let everything else melt away. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. No, it really, really does. And this is where, for those that are listening that are very much, yes, I do my gratitudes, my affirmations, then we're ready to talk about things like going deeper. So bringing breath work into this, bringing meditation and journaling into this, bringing, you know, meditation isn't something that we need to fear that is going to be boring. I remember being one of those people that thought, God, I'm not sitting in a circle with my fingers poised, humming to myself for an hour. This is just a waste of time. Until I realized that meditation gets to be a whole host of different styles. You can meditate with your eyes open whilst you're walking. And it's phenomenal what you get to do when you're really in the here and now, which is what meditation means. So it's being present in the here and now. And we lose that. We're always either in the past, so we're not living in the present, or we're in the future. And we're thinking about things like, I've got a meeting coming up on Monday. It's Friday afternoon. I'm already stressed. So we're either living in the past or the future. We're never enough in the present. And what that does to our entire breath is it shallows and shortens it. So we're not actually breathing properly. I mean, how many times, okay, I'm going to practice this breath with you right now, but how many times do we stop ourselves and think, have I actually taken a breath today? And this is how your breath should be when you're breathing properly. We should come in through our nose, so, and then out through our mouth. We don't breathe like that. No. We breathe like that when we're present. But what we breathe through during the day is very short, shallow, in and out the nose. So when we start to really take moments, and this is just micro moments, this isn't block an hour, micro moments to even take three breaths, and this is a halo active breath. So we breathe in through the nose, fill the lungs. And even when you think they're filled, breathe in a little bit more and really fill the lungs. Lift the shoulders, stretch the spine. And then as we breathe out through the mouth, release every single particle of breath that is in your lungs and use your diaphragm, your stomach muscle, to help push that out. The out breath will always be longer than the in.
I love this. I love this, the fact that we have touched on some really useful, practical, free tools,
yes,
which everybody can use, which will reduce cortisol levels, which will help with hormone balancing, because that's it, it will.
Yes.
And it isn't difficult. It's just about knowing what the tools are, making a commitment to yourself, which ones you're going to use, and just doing it and not having to spend hours and hours on it, but it's just about integrating them into your day.
Yes.
Adele, I end my podcast with all my guests with the same question, which is, can you give one practical, actionable tip to the listeners so they can take away and actually action today?
I would probably say that because we've spent quite a lot of our conversation deep inside, you know, how we can support ourselves, and this is a free tool, so you're not having to purchase anything. Go and listen to episode 17 of the Menopause Coach podcast, and it has all your guided affirmations. Start with your daily affirmations, practice it each day for the next 7 days, and feel what happens to your overall sense of well-being. That's all you have to do.
Fantastic. Sounds brilliant. Yeah. I'm going to go and listen. Thank you so much, Adele. It's just been such a lovely opportunity to talk to you. If people want to find out more about you or join one of your programs, where can they find you?
So probably over on Instagram is where I'm most present. I spend at least 2 hours a day having conversations in DMs. So if there's anything on your mind or you need help with anything, then I always gift that 2 hours every single day. So jump over. You will find me at the.menopausecoach. Or if you jump onto Google and just type Adele, A-D-E-L-E, the Menopause Coach, it will come up with everything.
Okay. Great. Thank you so, so much for your time today. It's been really lovely to meet you.
Thank you for having me. It's been so nice speaking with you.
I will put all of Adele's details into the show notes. And if you haven't tried any of the tools which we've talked about today, why not pick one and give it a go, because it will make a difference to how you feel within yourself. And if you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to come over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. It really does help so much to get this podcast out there. And if you think a friend might enjoy this episode, feel free to share it onto them. Thank you so much for listening. As ever, I know how busy you are, so I really, truly appreciate the time you have taken to listen to this podcast, particularly if you're still listening right now to the end. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and I can't wait to speak to you next time. Bye.